just bless the beat. This is Shahari. Welcome to Why the Songbird Sings. I have with me Shauna Songbird Kelly. How is it going, Shauna?
It is delightful, Shahari.
What's delightful about it?
We are living.
That answers all the questions, doesn't it? Living, meaning things happened, you survived them. And you feel, but that was more morbid. A take on that, wasn't it?
Right. But you know, I'll let you have your moment.
So that's great. So we're not separated this time. We're in one space. She was visiting for a moment, and we're happy to be here. She's living, whatever that means. We'll just let y'all fill in the blanks. For me,
I'm about to say, how are you? Because you went very morbid. I want to know, how are you feeling? How's your mental health doing?
Right now, I'm a little nervous, but it'll be good. I officially will close on the house Friday, about October 22nd of 2021. And it's going to be great. Everything is cleared as far as the title, because that's why it's been delayed for like 3 weeks.
It's like 5 months.
Yeah, title was trash, but it's happening. Just like I said it was going to happen, just like the Lord said it was going to happen.
Amen.
And it's happening. All the money is together. I've been blessed by many people. Shout out to parents and their teaching me to save. So it's happening Friday, and yeah. So anything else happened besides living?
I'm not going to talk about that situation.
I'm not going to talk about the situation that I thought you were sending me a pregnancy test.
Okay.
But it had like 5 lines on it, but you made a joke about it saying it was a pregnancy test. And I thought you was for real, and I was like, goodbye. I was like, get off my phone. Ooh. Like, why are we doing this?
Y'all, let me tell you. So, I was testing myself for my next assignment. And just to make sure, because sometimes the devil's grass is a beautiful thing. And I was happy because I've been cleansing myself for like at least a month now, and I finally came back negative, and I was like, finally. Yay, finally.
You finally came back
negative. It took a whole month.
You've been testing yourself for a month?
No, I like tested like maybe like 2 weeks, test the third week to see which that would happen. Fourth week, all right, I'm going to skip a little bit, wait a little bit longer, bam, and tested myself. So, with the way the test looked, and when I sent it out to multiple people, they questioned and was wondering, was it a pregnancy test? And so when Shahari asked me, what am I looking at? I decided to just go ahead and be a smart ass and say, a pregnancy test.
And I was like, do you not have dick and balls right now?
And You know, and I even one of the people that I'm currently talking to, he was like, wait, I'm confused. And
we were all confused. That's why I was like, get off my phone.
So, yeah, so it was a quite a funny experience. You know, I would not want a positive pregnancy test because technically for me that would mean I have cancer. But, you know, one day a baby is going to come. Now, that was the morbidness that you turned around delivery in the beginning.
Nah.
Motherfucker.
So, yeah, we're all good over here. And so, moving on.
Anything interesting happened to you besides closing the house?
I think that's pretty interesting. I think that's enough interesting stuff in my life.
Damn. Damn.
Because this has been a journey. I'm ready to be done with this process and move on to the after effect. Because all this waiting has put a toll on my excitedness. See, yes. I'm ready to be done with the buying the house process. I'm ready to close and move on to the owning and all the decorating other stuff that comes after that.
I think decorating is like the best part of like having your own house.
Yeah.
And be able to like, you can remodel and pull stuff up and make it really look like your own. Versus like when we were renting, our place was not the most aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
But it wasn't. We had mismatched furniture everywhere, and we had dark brown and light brown, and
but everyone loved to come over though.
A blue chair next to a black covered red chair, and then we also had some starfish dining special chairs that we were holding for somebody else.
Oh,
that
yes.
They left at our apartment for a year before they decided to come get it.
Like 5 years.
But yeah. Yeah, I don't need any more time right now. But I think we are ready for Shauna's reflections.
Made of flicks of light, a moment, only for a moment, it seems to be able to disconnect. A moment for you to be outside of yourself, a total outer body experience. You feel the heat, like that of the sun caressing the young, supple skin of your youth. You feel invincible, yet completely open. Every breath with purpose, every gesture thought of, every piece of motion is delicately placed. But you wonder if others realize the true work. You feel the energy in your blood and your adrenaline is rushing as you place every note in place. Your eyes knock on the door of a spectator and your soul soars high. A superpower you read about in comics or watch on television. A place, an ability that you forever will long. The stage will come and go, but for you, little one, it will always be home. And peace to you. Forever yours, Shauna the Songbird.
All right. When you were first starting, I thought you were either talking about makeup or clothes. And now I don't know.
Okay, I can
delicately place. I think you're talking about clothes or how you set yourself up, how you present yourself to the world. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Okay,
but then I don't know now. I don't know.
Well, I was talking about performing and being on stage.
So you're literally talking about stage performing, though.
Yeah.
And this thing's being placed. You're talking about all your stage performances, or just.
Yeah. Because, like, for me as a performer, like, but, like, for me, when I perform, it's, I think about everything. I think about backstory. I think about, you know, how I should move my hands, how my fingers, and, like, really, really detailing my performance. And even if I'm, like, just singing on the stage, I think about when to, like, lift my hand.
All the extras. Okay.
You know, when to look, when to look into the distance.
Doing the most.
And, I mean, but it works for me.
It works for you.
And some people they see it, they understand it. Some people are more caught on to it. Especially when I was in college and I was trained originally as a tenor and with some of the art songs, and even with some of the arias, I would place in my mind a whole stage and a whole layout. And as I'm singing, especially if it was like another language, I am acting in my hands and my body is in the motions as though I'm on a full set with backdrop and props and everything. And so, yeah, I was just having a moment and thinking about opera scenes when we did Sunday from Sunny in the Park with George. My freshman year, and just hearing the voices and literally the song is about everything and everyone being perfectly placed, and that's how I performed. That's how I thought about everything. So I thought it was like a good reflections. And then also when I was little and I was performing, I did the same thing. So I just didn't know, like, consciously what I was doing.
Oh, you just did it. Mm-hmm. But you didn't realize you were doing it.
Correct.
And now you realize you were doing it.
Yeah.
You put it on paper.
Yes.
To share with the world.
Yes.
The process of Shauna. Yeah, that's good. It's good reflections. I like that. I like how the voice remained the same the whole time.
You know what?
And there weren't three people talking. And you were living. And we're going to let y'all fill in the blanks.
I'm not. I'm not doing this. Oh, and normally I would say, you know, I'm tired of him. And let's, you know, let's leave. But we're actually in person now. So it's blessed.
But yeah, that was good. Now, is it time?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for me. Okay. Sean is going to put underneath me that I just realized she was putting stuff underneath my words of light.
That's what happens when you don't actually listen to
It's best that I not.
When you don't listen to your finished product, I mean, because
it's good that you do. I'm here for the right now.
And I mean, I have to. I edited.
And we thank you for all that you do. So.
No, thank you for all that you do. Oh my God. Ooh,
all right.
Shit.
Okay, here is Shahari's Words of Light segment. Back in one of the beginning episodes, we talked about trusting God in an earlier episode.
Did we?
Yes, we did. You remember? I'm pretty sure we do. Just like I remember every conversation that we've had on this podcast. Don't come for me. And we talked about trusting God in an earlier episode.
Correct.
And we talked about how it's better to trust and let go of control. But of course, trust and control cannot coexist. Now we're going to talk about how to go about trusting God. Because there are emotions involved or letting go of control, there's a vulnerability involved, and it's hard to trust somebody that you don't know. So here's scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is what we're going to base this words of light on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This devotional is based on a writing from Chris Wright on RamseySolutions.com to help me get my thoughts together so I'm not like rambling and spouting random things. So,
y'all, I think he's tossing shade.
I'm tossing shade at myself. So, here's the devotional. Why is it so hard to trust God? First, let's look at Genesis 3, 1 through 6, where the first humans showed the first signs of not trusting God. So here's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So that was Genesis 3, 1 through 6. This entire passage can be summarized with, they took matters into their own hands, basically. It's what we've all tried to do at some point in time and may still be doing. We all struggle with the same original sin, doubting God's goodness, being tormented with fear and anxiety, and always trying to take matters into our own hands. Now, how do we go about trusting him? Well, you have to get to know him. Think of a best friend that you trust. How did you come to trust this person? You know them personally. You know they are dependable. And you know they are for you. Those are typically the main three things that brings trust to people. Would you agree, Shauna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same applies to trusting God. Now, getting to know God personally, the Bible talks about how much God desires a close personal relationship with each of us. He's not a distant God trying to play hard to get in the clouds. He pursues us and loves us and wants us to be known and wants to be known by us. So here's 1 John 4 and 16, some scripture to go with that. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God loves you and wants to spend time with you. The more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him. And the more you get to know him, the easier it is to trust him. So spending time in scripture and prayer, you'll get to know more of the God that he knows all about you, but you'll get to know more about him. Now, remember when God has been faithful. I remember a time when I wasn't satisfied with my position at my last job, and I kept trying to find different jobs to replace it. I just was really ready to leave. I had just graduated college, and I felt like I should have a college job.
What does that even mean?
That means I didn't want to be cleaning bathrooms and checking out people's groceries, but that's what I did.
Fair enough.
Because God told me to stay where I was at that time. And when I finally stopped trying to leave, I was promoted to a new position at that job. And I was ultimately happier for a time being. Now, what I want you to do is make a list of the times when God has been faithful to you. Now, scripture to go along with the times to let you know that God is faithful. Romans 3 through 4 says, "What if some are unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Again and again, God shows us that regardless of what we do or don't do, he's faithful. We can depend on him. Our God is a God who comes through for you. Not every now and then, every single time. God doesn't come through for you because you deserve it or because you've been good. God comes through for you because that's who he is. Remember when God's been faithful to you before, and let that build your confidence in him. You can trust God because he's faithful. Another way is to read about how God feels about you. So often we project onto God how we feel about ourselves, full of disappointment, failure, and doubt. Or we project from a place of woundedness from our past, how our dad talked to us when we were little, or how a hateful person treated us on the street. We expect that God feels the same way about us. If you see God as a judgmental dictator in the clouds, waiting for you to mess up again, no wonder it's hard to trust him. That's why you need to read and reread and reread about how God actually feels about you. Here are just a few examples of what he wrote in his love letter to you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 4. Another one, Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Zephaniah 3 and 17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you and with joyful songs. God loves you and he likes you. He's in your corner and he wants the very best for you. When you remember how he feels about you, it becomes a lot easier to trust him and his plans for you. Now, trusting God is an act and a practice. Trust isn't a thought or feeling. It's an act and practice that you walk out in your daily life. It's a muscle that needs to be exercised. If you've never used this muscle, it's going to be weak. It's okay. Over time, the more you exercise this muscle, the easier it will become. So the next time something goes wrong or someone's capping on you, you have a choice. You can panic and frantically try to fix everything yourself, or you can practice active trust. You can pause and pray. You can seek God for the solution before you make your next move. So take a deep breath. Let your shoulders relax. Your Father knows your every need before you even have it. Now let's end this devotional with a prayer. Okay, pray with me. God, I want to be a person who stands firm and trusts you wholeheartedly. I want to be unshakable and resilient, but that can only happen by depending on you and trusting you. I give my burdens over to you in exchange for your peace as you develop deeper trust in me. God, I need and want to trust you more. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. So,
go forth and prosper, and continue to practice trust in God. That was your Words of Light segment with Shahari. And I appreciate how Chana was literally, whatever you're doing, she was showing her reflections as I was going through the segment.
I was just agreeing with the points that you made, and yeah, you know, it feels different when you in person, you hear Shahari talk about his devotionals and whatnot. It just hits a little different. I do the same thing when we on Zoom, but still.
Yeah, but you were doing your light breathing and your hand gestures and eye rolls, whatever you were doing.
I'm not finna play with you.
But as you have noticed, today I guess I've been doing more of the
Moderating.
So this podcast, this episode is a Shahari takeover.
Yes.
So I will be doing the discussion, which is why I've been kind of nervous this whole time. But I think this is going to be a really good combo.
Right. You don't need to be nervous.
And I'm naturally going to be nervous because this is the first time. But it's okay.
You know, a wonderful writer and artist once said, it's nothing like the first time.
And who is that writer? Was he born in 3000 BC?
Oh. I mean, I want to say it was black, but it could have been plies. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That's even better.
Right. I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing this with you in my Caucasian home.
This is a Caucasian home. Yes, it is. It's decorated very nice. They probably had a decorator come in. Because it's too perfect.
I can't deal with you.
Are we ready for today's topic?
Yes.
Okay, and the Sahari Takeover episode number 10/9.
Look here.
Episode 10.
Anyways, don't be coming for our episode.
I don't know, somewhere along the way, we got messed up.
Our episode count, I mean, this is where we are. Episode 10.
Episode 10.
According to all the major...
According to your account.
Our major streaming platforms. Anyways, so for the topic today...
The topic today is cancel Dave Chappelle.
Ooh, child.
So,
Y'all, I'm sober this time. We'll see how this goes.
We're going to talk about Dave Chappelle's special, The Closer, and the cancel culture. I think this is a perfect subject for this podcast, so we can come together and have a conversation of how this comedy show has brought such backlash from the LGBTQ community. Now, so many people have said that it has perpetuated transphobia and hate. And I know some Netflix people they've been let go, or they have been...
According to Netflix, them being let go was... an outside reason. Before, so apparently they were just like, bitch, you've been late 20 times to work, don't be acting like you doing something now since we let you go. That's not what happened, but I'm just giving an example. But people did stage like a walkout, people who work for Netflix, and in retaliation to them keeping the show and saying that the show does not go against their, what's the word? Their terms and conditions?
Yeah, their terms of conditions. Their term, their, as far as being upright in the content, not being hateful content, or something like that.
It's called something else, but I don't care.
Yeah, but what brought this to my focus was our last episode with Indy, and we kind of went on a tangent about Dave Chappelle because I don't think Indy really cared for him. But as far
she didn't care for Tyler Perry.
Yeah, but I mean, you already heard my thoughts about it. It wasn't like the funniest special, but it still had some jokes in there. And yes, there were jokes about the gay community and women. There was a lot of stuff in there.
You know,
as far as
moments of trauma.
What is it called? That
sexual trauma and whatnot.
The real women and the trans women.
Yeah.
With J.K. Rowling, there was a lot of he read a lot of things in there.
Yeah.
But I didn't. My personality and what I'm referred to as a cis male and my cis male POV, I did not get hate from that special. Like, so many people have said that there was transphobic hate. In my thoughts, I didn't get hate from that. Like you said, he was giving out his truth. Like, he was telling, like, his story.
Right.
But, like, what were your thoughts, Shauna?
Like I told y'all, I know some of y'all might not be completely happy with what I'm going to say. But the man told us his stories. And that's what he do a lot of times for his specials. He just tells his stories and events according to him. And is he ignorant? I don't want to say ignorant. Are the things that he say, can it be taken offensively? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, that does not take away the fact that those are his experiences. And as a comedian, his job is to tell his experiences. And oftentimes, tell it in a way to where somebody finds it funny. Mm-hmm. And clearly the audience, a lot of the audience found it funny. So yeah, therefore, because
he was part of the top 10 for a minute. He might still be part of the top 10
I think he still lives. So it is, it's overall, it is what it is. Do I condone a lot of stuff that he says and whatnot? No. Did he have some moments of where I can agree with him? Yes. That he had moments where I was like, you know what? I can't deal with you and I'm waiting for the next topic. Yes. But I think that's with anything. And like he said, this is his work. This is his art. This is his creation. So he's going to do it how he wants.
Yeah. So my first point is like, what is a joke? Let's define a joke. It's a thing that someone says to cause amusement or laughter, especially a story with a funny punchline. So let's admit that most jokes are talking about someone, something, or someplace. So somebody is going to be offended by the joke because they're the ones being talked about. They're the punchline. So naturally, you're probably not going to feel, some people laugh, some people don't. In my opinion, if you don't like the joke, that means it wasn't for you.
Right.
Like, what type of jokes do you like? Or do you know? Well, let's go over
okay.
the types of comedies. Right?
Okay.
Right. There's dark comedy. It's defined as black or dark comedies are about topics that are distressing to people, such as death, illness, and other taboo topics. When people feel uncomfortable, laughing can relieve the tension. And this type of comedy centers around this idea. So that is dark comedy. There was definitely some of that near the end of the special.
Mm.
The other one is...
throughout for me.
The other one is like...
cringing the whole
time. There's humor comedy, which is based on the medieval era, belief that people are ruled by various humors that control their personalities and interactions. A comedy of humors is a character-based story. In this type of comedy, the characters have one or two dominant traits, such as jealousy, greed, or vanity, that rule their interactions with each other. This is not a type of comedy you see often in modern literature and films, but its influence is part of why there are so many great comedic characters. So that's humor comedy. Then there's the comedy of manner. You didn't really care for humor comedy? No?
I mean, I'm sure if anything is delivered well, I will appreciate it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's for the palm. Sounds like it was for the palm.
Wait, you better stop before we get called out. I've already been called out so far. I'm not going to do this.
So the comedy of manners, the next one. It's a comedy of manners poke fun at the behaviors and lives of certain classes of people, especially upper class. You see many satires that are comedies of manner. This type of comedy has been popular for centuries, sparking such hilarious examples as the television show Frasier. So that's comedy of manner. Another one is a romantic comedy.
Yes.
So romantic comedy centers around a theme of love, and it usually has a happy ending. Two characters meet and begin a love affair, but misunderstandings and other impediments get in the way. You'll see this type of comedy in the work of Shakespeare, as well as in books and many movies.
Oh, impediments.
Like when Harry met Sally. Pretty Woman, you've got Mail, and others. So that is romantic comedy. Which
I don't like any of those, but I prefer romantic comedies. But the ones you stated were terrible romantic comedies.
You didn't
comedies.
Like Pretty Woman? I didn't really watch Pretty Woman, but I've heard of so much about it.
I watched it. It was not for me.
It was not for you. It was the palm again, huh?
I'm not doing this.
Next is sentimental comedy. Sentimental comedy was a popular genre in the 17th and 18th centuries that explored the trials of middle-class characters and the methods of overcoming those challenges. Instead of making readers and viewers laugh, this type of comedy was designed to make them cry. However, the story was a happy one. Some of the dramedies of today may fit loosely in this category, but it's much more common in literature from the 1600s and 1700s. You know one. I know you do. You have to. I don't know one, but I feel like
I was about to say, are you trying to call me old, or yes, are you trying to say I'm just well-knowledged of various topics?
Both.
And thank you to one and fuck you to the other. Let's keep going. Thank you.
Next is tragic comedy. This is the last one, is tragic comedy, which is actually a form of drama. Tragic comedy mixes humor and tragedies together in surprising ways. Most tragic comedies feature surprise endings, and almost all endings are happy. Tragic events weave their way through these stories, just as they do in real life. Some classic examples include One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Forrest Gump, and American Beauty. So those are the types of comedy. So out of those, you seem to like romantic comedy. But
yeah, that's my fave.
That's your fave. And I can sometimes be a fan of dark comedy. I have a kind of
morbid.
I can be like a stale, sweet and sour gummy bear sometimes. So that's that's kind of me.
Wait, who wants that?
That's my personality sometimes. Wait, at one point in time, I was like a stale, sweet and sour gummy bear. My personality was like that at one point in time. It might still kind of be. I might have gotten a little watered now. I might have more freshness, but it's still like reaching its expiration, you know.
I didn't think water helped gummy bears, but okay, I thought it made them worse, but all right.
But yeah, those are the types of comedies. So, you know, if you don't like one, pick another one. Not all is for everybody. We're all different people.
Correct.
So, you know, just pick your poison, pick your sauce, your flavor, your drippings.
Pick your drippings. Wow.
You know, and go for what you know. Not everything is for you. And the joke is going to offend somebody, right? It's going to offend somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, the next point is the LGBT community has gained some influence, yes, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, how did they gain this influence?
Part of it was, a lot of it is from the groundwork of black and brown queer femmes who were very like tired of the mistreatment, and we were I'm trying to word this delicately. I don't know why I can't say that word today. But the white members of the LGBTQIA+ community were able to stand before their other white non-members to plead the cases of the rest of us.
So the LGBT community gained influence because the black people came to the white people and be like, hey, let's stop this.
They didn't kind of do that.
They did not do that.
They started doing the work. The white people said, yeah, we need change.
Mm-hmm.
And then the white people were just like plastered everywhere while the black people did the work.
Okay. So, being said about the show, the marginalization, mockery, dehumanization, and violence many of us face every day of most of our lives is what fuels our despair. For Chappelle to use Daphne's tragedy as your closing tag is the only thing you've done that's made me angry enough to write a letter. That is something from a news article that I wrote, that I
read.
Another thing, the media watchdog group GLAAD said in a statement Monday that Netflix...
GLAAD?
said in a statement Monday that Netflix was violating its own policy to reject programs that incite hate or violence, and anti-LGBTQ content does just that. GLAAD said Netflix management needs to listen to LGBTQ employees, industry leaders, and audiences, and commit to living up to their own standards. One other thing is, in the few days the closer was released, Chappelle has received condemnation from the NBJC, which called for the special to be pulled from the streamer. With 2021 on track to be the deadliest year on record for transgender people in the United States, the majority of whom are Black transgender peoples, Netflix should know better. NBJC Executive Director David John said in a statement released to media, perpetuating transphobia perpetuates violence. Netflix should immediately pull the closer from its platform and directly apologize to the transgender community. So by them saying pull this thing of him basically telling his story and his truth and his experiences, is the LGBT community using their influence to attempt to silence those they don't agree with?
So, that is a very, those pictures are cricket. That is a very difficult thing because, in a sense, you have to put in perspective of a group of people who are, for some reason, still marginalized and still mistreated and still are fighting for their rights. And we are at a time now where we are starting to try to undo the mindsets of the past and the bad habits of the past. And some of it can be a little bit more on the radical side. But the question is that needed for change? Because most change comes from radical reactions to situations. It's very few times change comes from actual, just civilized, peaceful moments, to be honest. If we look at history, especially American history, where pretty much almost everything is traumatic, violent, aggressive on either end, from the conception of this country. Hell, even the founding of this land is rooted in aggressiveness and silencing of people. So that's something to think about when you are approaching a question like this. So with that being said, in a sense, yes, it is a level of silencing and trying to change and or correct a continuing behavior. But at the same time, it's quite difficult to be the bigger person when for years the opposite end has come for you.
I am enlightened because I was like, as far as where the backlash is coming from, so now I see that. Is there any other type of way they could have stated?
I mean, it's always a way to,
without using, you know,
cancel
culture.
It's always in terms of, like, it's always ways of being better and saying things differently, and but yet saying the same thing. We do it all the time on the podcast, as far as, like, you know, being the most least offensive as we can. And that's on both ends, from the queer perspective and from the cishet perspective. So there's always a way that you can say that. And I feel like if people, instead of saying canceling it, just simply say that this is what he said, and this is what's wrong with what he said. Even though that is his experience, that is how he viewed that experience at that time. Because, what you call it? Because Dave Chappelle has never stated that he hated trans people. Hell, in previous shows, he even talked about being with a trans person multiple times.
Yeah, he did.
So clearly, this man has some kind of openness. And then the fact that he went in front of however many thousands of people, and also so many millions and billions of people have it, you know, on tape that he has been with trans people, he has gone out with trans people and has hung out with them, whatever, but yet he still has his
jokes.
Yes. So, I mean, clearly it's not a matter of him being transphobic. It's just a matter of him just not being tactful with what he says. And to me, personally. Same thing when it comes to, like, gay people. He never stated that he disliked gays. And unfortunately, I hate to say this. I love all our listeners. But his big thing with his special, is from what I heard, was that he had a bigger issue with white members of the LGBTQIA+ community, whether they were trans or whether they were cis and gay or whatever. And he had said something on there that I firmly believe, and they're able to always fall back on their whiteness. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned earlier, that's how the alphabet community has been able to, like, progress more. And that's why even within our community, it's still a race thing. Even because, what you call it, a white man will treat me as a trans woman differently than he will treat a white trans woman.
Okay.
Even if he sees both of us as men with breasts, he gonna turn around and still treat the white one better because they still have that privilege of being white. Maybe not everyone, but it does happen.
Okay. Another point, they talked about how the special was hateful. But this is more to the people that like to drag and cuss people out in their Twitter rages and wherever you decide to post.
Mm-hmm.
Just realize that you are now the one who's spreading hate. And there is always a more... You can still shade somebody
mm-hmm.
with love.
Mm-hmm.
I do it
a lot of times. All the time.
Just remember that love is not a feeling. If it were, there would be less of it in the world.
Right.
It's an act that you must show and live daily. So you can educate... And you can have, well, what is the thing? Just talk to them with a grain of salt. Put some seasoning on there. It's somewhere in the Bible, I believe. Talk, like a little
with a grain of salt.
Seasoning of salt in your words. You know, you can put some seasoning in there. You can put a look of shade. I do it all the time. It's necessary.
Right. It's people don't necessary. Be noticing. I just stand there and just be like, wow, they did not catch what he said.
Yes, but just realize that if you like to drag and cuss people out, now you're the one who is spreading hate. So there's other ways to go about it and still feel accomplished. Even if they don't even realize it. It's even better when they don't realize
it. Oh, tell me. We love a good dragging and they don't realize they just got drugged through the ground.
Because it was done so lovingly.
However, I must admit, for me.
Don't start this.
But it is something cathartic about a good cussing out.
See, that's
about a good cussing out and a good solid, unadulterated, raw, nasty, no condom, all squirts type cussing out.
Okay, for your psyche and for your mental health capacity, do it with love. Again, there are some words, we say cuss words, but to be honest, are there really any cuss words?
I feel like it's a social construct.
That doesn't mean go around saying, doing what Kirk Franklin did now.
That is a perfect example of that's something not, that's cathartic.
Not it. That's not it.
So just
that was unnecessary.
No, it was not. That came from a deep place. He was fed up, and
that was not of God.
It sounded like the Lord fueled it.
That was not God there.
The Lord had opened the door for me. For me.
God not open that door. No, he did not.
The Lord said, go ahead.
Don't lie on the Lord's podcast now.
He said, step in. Because he stepped. He stopped.
What did he say? Yo, bitch, I asked you.
Oh, my eyeshadow. Oh, my mascara. Oh.
See, there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it.
Oh, let the Lord show you how to do it.
He'll show you.
But once again, what if the way is just a good old you bitch ass motherfucker, because you ugly ass hoe.
In the end, if you do it that way, you're not really going to feel better.
Nope, I be feeling great. I feel great when I do it.
You're not really going to feel better.
Nope. I sleep good at night. Take my meds and I'll be knocked out.
Because you gave all your energy away to something that's not really going to fix it.
Mm-mm. It be fixing it.
I'm so tired of you. We're going to agree to disagree.
Right. I feel like that's something else that we need to also establish. It's to a point to where when it comes to art, being able to agree and disagree, I guess to say to a certain extent, but the question will be, how far is too far?
Mm. Yes.
Like, that was my actual question to you.
How far is too far?
How far is too far? Like, when can we actually say to cancel somebody?
Whenever they're acting like you're not a person. Whenever they see themselves as better than, which has been happening a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you just kind of need to, when you say cancel, you're talking about just take away everything?
Yes, like just how they were talking about canceling that show and you know, but people have been saying cancel Dave Chappelle for years. I mean, we already discussed in the last podcast.
Some people say cancel culture is a myth.
It's just on the internet. I mean, it's all just a social construct. It's all just constructed by random people, and eventually people subconsciously fall into it. And then next thing you know, years later, you'd be like, wait a minute, What happened to such and such? Oh, yeah, they were canceled. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen years from now. If they actually stop.
Of true hate, like they truly just hate, then yes, that's when they need to be taken out.
But other than that, you would say it's okay to like agree to disagree, especially if they're speaking from their personal experience versus...
But I mean, of course, leave your reviews and continue to tell your truth and just let the world know that you are here.
Right. Let them know that
you're living. And I feel something.
Right.
You know, but yeah, we're going to agree to disagree on as far as how you go about telling your truth.
Because have you seen me do a good old solid cussing out?
No.
Now that must have been Danny. Danny and Livy have seen me do a good old solid. And I felt good. I felt good afterwards. I went to bed wonderful. Woke up, went and got brunch. It was beautiful.
I'm tired of you. Okay, here's my last point.
Okay.
That I think people are going to adapt to the LGBT community in their own way.
They are.
And you have to give them that freedom of expression that you desire. As long as it's like, you know.
This is when proper education is needed, and at the same sense of educating, the same sense of whether cishet folks educate themselves doing their own work and their own study and whatnot, and or if they are simply asking questions and learning from us, both parties need to have an open heart and open mind, because some people are not going to be able to word things properly. And just because I am a member, just because I'm Black and I'm trans and I'm pan, like, does not mean that I speak for all of the people that are within those realms. And hell, I can even toss Christianity into it. Take like with a grain of salt what you receive as a, not as like the Bible, but simply as someone's opinion and just a way for you to kind of mold your mind and thought process. But who's to say that? Because that's your view. But like you said, when they get to the point of just like, you are better than, then that's when you need to shoot them in the kneecap.
Yeah, and I think in Dave Chappelle's case, his way of adapting to the LGBT community is through comedy.
Talking more shit.
Yes. So like, although not all comedy is truly funny, it serves an important purpose in literature, film, and theater. Comedy lightens the mood and allows the audience to release some of the emotional tension that comes from the serious aspects of life and tragic situations. Whether you're laughing out loud at examples of humor or simply smiling because a story has a happy ending, you'll find that comedy is everywhere in the stories you read and watch. So going back to Dave Chappelle's friend that he was mourning, Deborah, was her name?
Deborah? Yeah, I thought it was Daphne.
Daphne. I'm thinking of my situation.
You're Deborah.
Daphne.
A story for another time, y'all.
So it was like one article wrote, the marginalization, mockery, dehumanization, and violence many of us face every day of most of our lives is what fuels our despair. For you to use Daphne's tragedy as your closing tag, only thing that you've done that's made me angry enough to write a letter, is what Bell wrote on this article that I saw. I think it was ABC News, I think. But again, that was Dave Chappelle's friend. He considered her part of his tribe, and him coping with the loss of his friend, he used comedy to help lighten the mood and lighten the load, is what I got from that.
I can see that.
So, as far as, you know, we all have our own ways, and some change just takes time, because I know y'all have been waiting a long time to be to get where you've gotten, just like we blacks who've been freed for how long?
And
we're still dealing with some stuff. People are still trying to adapt to us. Everywhere I go, I'm like something to look at, you know.
I can English, because I'm trying to like make sure I say things well. And that's what a hard issue that we are having, because we have to deal with this generalized attack upon the community, and then we have to deal with the attack of being black, and then on top of that is the attack of being black and in our community. I mean, and of the community, with a lot of times within our community. And then even still with that from the outside communities as well. So it's like a never ending cycle for black and brown members of the community, because we always have multiple feet on our necks. And that's why I feel like I understand why people feel the way they do, because that is the reason why it's always a constant foot on our necks. And some of it can be out of frustration, as far as like canceling and whatnot, and not taking the comedy well. But then also when you think about it, like comedians are doing nothing but just storytelling. They're doing nothing but storytelling, and sometimes it's useful in the long haul, because it allows later generations to hear and listen how things were in a not so conventional space, to really see how like life and the society was, if you think about it, like me growing up, you know, watching Richard Pryor and whatnot. You know, he talked about more stuff like in the 80s and whatnot. And, you know, even though I was not, you know, within that time, I got a sense of how it was. You see what I'm saying?
No.
You know what? I would just cut it out. Fuck it.
But in the end, as far as canceling Dave Chappelle, I did not get hate from that. So in my opinion, he does not deserve a canceling. But of course, continue to raise your voices and let people know how you feel. But we also have to realize who our real enemies are. And I don't think Dave Chappelle ranks as a real enemy of the LGBT community. And now, Shauna, do you have any final thoughts?
I really don't. Just continue to live, continue to love, and continue to try to tactfully educate those with ignorant or misguided views, and or those who just don't know how to say things properly.
All right. So that was your Shahari Takeover episode 10.
And how does it feel? How does it feel to be in my seat, in a sense.
I was very nervous at first. But after we got near the end,
I noticed.
I think once I got to point two.
I noticed your body stopped looking so tense. You stopped looking like you were. You looked a little bit more comfortable. Once again, y'all, we are completely sober. So, you know, therefore, you know, this is. And then also, this is just a different thing. We had thought about it would be interesting to have his head to come in and take over, so it's not so queer all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. So are you gonna do the sign off, or
what is the sign off?
So until next time, bye.
Oh, so until next time, y'all have a good one. Go forth and prosper. And I am not doing that high stuff that Shauna does. So get used to the whatever this is I got going on. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I hate you. Why'd you do that?
I had to.
Reflection. 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 Reflection.